It's good to be here this morning, and I was impacted by a couple of things by the songs that we just sang. And one is, give me an innocent and childlike heart. And I feel so often that I need more of that, just an innocent heart. And some of us are coming back from Belize just this past week, and I was impressed with one thing, and I'm actually jumping ahead of my what I was going to share at the end, but that innocent and childlike faith is one thing that impressed me about our time in Belize, and I'll share a little bit more about that later on. But the other song is that we would follow God into the homes of the broken and into the world. And I tell you, that is just such a huge thing for us to have that commitment. And if we sang that from our hearts, I can't wait to see what God will do through us as a body of believers here. But as I was thinking about this morning and the focus, I just want to read a couple of verses, and I'm going to keep it pretty short because we have a full agenda. But as I was thinking of our time in Belize and Irvin's time in Belize and Kids Club, we're going to be hearing from that this morning. And Alicia's leaving us for a year, so we're going to hear from her a little bit this morning. But I thought of Mark chapter 4. And this is actually a picture of so much of our lives, whether it's in the world or in the church or whatever it is. But Mark chapter 4, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, "And he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And most times when we read those verses, we think about what kind of soil our hearts are. And that's a good focus. But I was struck with the sower as I read those verses. And I get the picture of a guy just out throwing seed. And wherever he went, he threw seed. And as he threw seed, it happened to fall on hearts that were willing to hear. Some hearts that were willing to hear. Some hearts that were hard and stony. Nothing happened. But the sower was faithful in just throwing the seed. And I love that picture of our lives. That's really what God has called us to, is to just throw the seed wherever we go. And he's promised to bring an increase. And so this morning, we want to spend some time. Irvin and James and David spent some time in Belize. They're going to be showing some slides and sharing. And then right after that, the youth and the team that was in Belize just this past week, we're going to be sharing. And then James will come, and I'll get up after the youth are done. But Irvin, why don't you go ahead, and then I think Galen is coming on for the youth right after that. Is that still right, Galen? Okay.
Well, it was my privilege to go to Belize as a 20-year-old, spend 3 years there in the central part of the country, got to love the people, got to love the country, and it's where I met my wife from Lancaster. I was from Ohio. She's from here. And then we went back 4 years in the remote southern part of the country. And so it was a dream of mine to take my two sons and go down and spend 3 weeks in June and July and just revisit familiar places and explore new ones. Belize is a developing country. Belize is about the size of Massachusetts, roughly 9,000 square miles, has only 320,000 people compared to Massachusetts of 6.6 million. So do the comparison. There's a lot of unexplored, undeveloped areas in Belize compared to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has, 44,000 square miles and 46 million people, something like that. So Belize is a really small country, very underdeveloped but very beautiful, has so much variety of its landscapes and geography and its peoples, very diversified, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that. So I'm excited. We'll just run you through a brief trip of my time there. The Lord gave us a verse while we were there, or before we went, that the Lord will guide us continually, make our bones strong, and he will make us like a well-watered garden whose waters fail not, and we will raise up old foundations. That was part of the verse that he gave us for our going. So part of it was ministry, part of it was adventure. But one thing you'll find most people as they go to Belize, when you land there, that you don't get in through a corridor into the airport, but the heat of Belize in June and July, it's very, very humid, over 100% humidity most of the time, and it hits you like a wave. This click. So we had lined up with the place where I had lived as a single fella in Hattieville, the village of Hattieville. We'd asked him before we went about some projects. So the first week, boys and I were involved in a project of helping finish out a house for the pastor, Hudel Segiri's daughter, or son. They lived in this house for about 3 years, had no ceilings, and the soffits were open. The what they call wishwillies, big lizards that sting, that bite, and all kind of scorpions, and she had some snakes in the house sometime, and she was very concerned that, and she was about to have a baby. So Hudel, the pastor, said, "Could you help us with putting in a ceiling on this house?" Which is what we were involved in doing. If we can get the pages to go. But as soon as we landed in Belize, the boys and I actually rented a vehicle to get around the country. We didn't navigate the traditional Belizean ways of catching a ride or buses. Well, we met this guy in the city. Right away, he was a heart that needed ministry. And the next picture shows some of that. But we were able to minister to him, pray with him. But the humidity of Belize got to my sons. It was really, really warm. And the temperature was about 96. But like I said, over 100% humidity most of the time. So our first part of our trip was involved in helping in that way. Then we went and did some interior hiking. We hiked the jungles and the interior. Here was Frank, the guy we ministered to. So the second part of our trip was hiking the jungles. Here's Hudel Segiri, the pastor of the Amish Mennonite Church. He's my age. Was ordained while I was there as a single fella, but is a bishop and the leader of the church there. And it was his family that we were working with. There you go. That's a picture of a very typical house. That's the house we were working on. Had no screens, had no ceiling, had no soffits, and so that's what we were working on to get that done. 2 days after we were done, we were putting up the soffits. 2 days after we were done, she had her baby, and she was very excited to be inside and be more secure. Here's some pictures of what was happening. James had the opportunity to speak at the school. It was the last day of school. He had the opportunity to do some of his gymnastics, working with the kids. After that hot week, we went interior to an eco-friendly, very, very fine in the jungle, about 12 miles in the jungle, somebody had developed, an American had developed this neat eco-friendly place where they do a lot of training. A lot of their, all their building is done with state-of-the-art artisans, native woodwork or native construction. Everything there is tied together with string. And Belize was the home of the Mayas, the ancient Mayas who, back 2,000 years ago, their culture began to rise by the time that Christ was on the earth. They built these temples to the sun god, jaguar god. Nobody knows for sure what happened. They lasted about 1,000 years, and then they crumbled. James doing some of his gymnastics on top that would have made his mother faint. Wanted, almost got us sent off the site. Belize is the land of the old and the new. Here, this is going into Spanish Lookout, the Mennonite colony. It's one of two ways to get in. There's a bridge at the other end. Here's the, they still use the ferry, which is a barge with a crank. I don't know if you can really see it, but there's a cable, and men crank that thing across. And that's how hundreds of vehicles get across per day. And we did the, like I said, we did the interior hiking, exploring. We backpacked across the country. Here's a, every once in a while we had Wi-Fi. We always tried to get in connection with people we knew. Here we were on a zip line. We did a 2.5 mile zip line, which was really a neat time. We used different stations up and down. Some of the boys, first time I did that. It was just a great time to be with my sons. Here's in a jungle hike up to a 1,000-foot waterfall. Baboons are something that is native to Belize and are protected. Here's what we did. And I want you to hear what they sound like. They're the fifth loudest animal in the world, according to
science. Come on! Is it the fifth loudest? Good job. Fifth loudest animal in the world.
There we go. Dave is always busy taking pictures. The beautiful fauna. There we go. Capture some bees on that. While we were hiking the jungle, we tried to get some jungle fruits. That was some rose apple that grew wild in the jungle. We tried to get that down and gave us some energy. This bug flew down, attacked us. It's about a 3-inch bug. He flew down and bit me on the lip as we were trying to get some fruit out of the trees. We knocked him down, captured him, got it at home, and he's dead, but he's in a good safe. But he's a big guy. Part of the 1,000-foot waterfalls. Iguanas are something that are all over Belize. They hatched out about a month before we got there, so there's a bunch of iguanas everywhere, of all colors and sizes. Here's one smiling, welcoming us to Belize. Boys caught one trying to escape into a hole. Our last part of the our time there, we were in the southern part of the country, back in Toledo District, where Martha and I lived after we were married, had two of our girls there. But here's one of the people who used to be a strong believer, is now backslidden. This is a guy who some of you I mentioned to was in. He was to be our guide. Ended up, he was in a bar, got drunk, called me and said, "He can't go out with us." We went to the bar and spent about an hour with him until he sobered up and he stopped drinking. Basic foods of the southern end there is tortillas and a soup they call caldo. It's a wonderful treat. Those of you who like Coke, I think Belize has the best Coke in the world. They make it there, but the Coke is just really, really great down there. Just, Jungle Farm, the same guy. This guy here, he had been on a drinking binge for 6 months. He was part of the conservative church down there. He had been a friend of ours, been in our church for a while. But he had been on a drinking binge for 6 months. We met with him. and prayed with him. He cried, dedicated his life back to the Lord, and they told us since that he's faithful and back in fellowship. When we lived there, the only way to get to Krikasarka, which is that sign on that bus, was by river, by dory, dugout 50 miles on dugout, 15 miles on the sea, 35 miles upriver. This was the first time we went back by road, and so it was really amazing to find a bus that is now able to go back there in good weather. And the blend of the old and the new. The guy who runs those buses lives in that house, that thatch house. He operates two buses. This is the inside of his house. As modern as he is and owning two buses, he lives in a house. You can see they do their tortillas in the fire to the far right. His wife is making tortillas for us. The corn is stacked neatly on the left lower side there. And they shell that out, give it to the pigs, chickens, and for your own personal use. The bed's on the right there. They just sleep on those wooden boards. Here's his family. He is a Christian, part of a church there. This man was a great friend of mine while we were there. He had backslidden. We prayed with him. He rededicated his life to the Lord. His wife, his name is Lucas Chub, and his wife Maria. He also owns a bus and transports children from the village of Krikasarka every day out to colleges. The other thing that's really neat is that there's now water in all these remote villages where there were only footpaths. Is now they built water towers, they dug wells, and there's running water to houses in these remote villages. Krikasarka is to the left, another 10 miles. Corazon Creek is the village that no longer has any animistic or Catholic church. The entire village is now Christian, points to the right there. It's really the reason I have this up is because Corazon Creek was probably the strongest animistic stronghold while we were there. They chased us out with machetes at one point, told us never to come back. Today, the entire village is Christian and no Catholic church. When you get to Krikasarka, it's the end of the road. You have to cross, and this bridge is meant to someday be crossable by vehicle, but at this point they haven't put the road up and over. But this bridge sits 30 feet above the water because the river in Krikasarka can rise 20, 25 feet in one night. So they had to build this really high. And this whole area gets about 200 inches of rain a year, so that's why the river can up and down so much. So this bridge is way up. People have to park on this side and cross into the village. But it's a high bridge. James entertained the community by jumping off of that thing, doing his backflips. And that they kept begging him to go back over and over and over and do that. Here's a house that we built and lived in while we were there. It's still standing. It's been rethatched many times. Those leaves on there last about 8 years, so it has to be constantly rethatched. But Martha and I and our two girls live there, and they give us the key that says, it's your house, go back in it, live in it, and enjoy it. People, just pictures of most of these are Christians. Krikasarka used to be about 5% Christian. Today is 80% evangelical. We just praise God for that. The girl on the left there is a deaf girl. Came up to us and asked if we could pray for her and help her out financially. We prayed over her, a really neat experience. We're anxious to hear what God is doing. There's the night we arrived, they said it was like really walking through another door, just walking back into the village after not having been there for 13 years. Martha and I actually left 25 years ago, but 13 years ago our family visited. We arrived there, people really came to see the white man again, and there's no white people in this village. The entire all the churches and health care and everything that we implemented there is now indigenous. And they said, come and help us thatch the next day. So we went over and we did a thatching job. They used the bay leaves to thatch. And here's a kind of a video of how that operates. This is the kind that every 6 to 8 years has to be rethatched, all their houses. The village comes together. And they all help each other. Those leaves are tied on there with jungle string. They pile them on top of each other, five thick. And it makes a really good watershed. And while the men are thatching, the women are preparing the food in these big kettles. There was 40 men there that day, dragging leaves in, putting them up, tying them down. Helping out. church service. This is the Baptist church. There's no Mennonite church in this village. It's a Baptist and Nazarene, but like I said, 80% of the people go to church. It's interesting, the women, when they enter the church, they put their veils on. When they leave, they take them off. But it's something that follows through, whether they're Nazarene, Pentecostal, or Baptist, throughout the Kekchi world. Toledo District, where the Kekchi and the Mayas live, is the safest place in the country because of the large predominance of Christian people and the power of the gospel. Some of the service. These are men sharing it. Since we were there, they were sharing testimonies about the influence of the past on their lives and how part of that I had to do with that. Here's Sam Chuck. He's the pastor of the church, just an outstanding young man, had great vision for his church, implements fasting and prayer times. Just some. Here's a healthcare worker. While we were there, we operated a medical clinic. Or I didn't operate, but we oversaw it. And we trained healthcare workers in all the village. This is one of the healthcare workers 25 years ago that was trained and raised up, and he's still a healthcare worker. He's a Christian, has a great influence throughout the region. One of the itinerant pastors, Augustine Chubb, was a pastor of the church while we were there and is now an itinerant pastor and is a head of about 2,000 church member group. Just a dedicated man. Back up to the Cayo District. Here's a brother in the Amish Mennonite Church, and George Mivett. Some of you may have ran across him, but we spent some time with him. His nephew has this huge goiter, and they took us over there and asked us to pray over him, see if we could help him out. And so they need about $3,000. They're a very poor family, don't have money for the surgery, and so they asked us if there's any way we could find some help to assist in the surgery. We prayed over him, hoping that God would heal it so he wouldn't need the surgery. I just got an email that he still needs the surgery. So he's got that this week. So we'll see what we can do. Then when the boys and I went out to the Keys, we spent our last couple days out at the Keys. We did some snorkeling, took scuba diving lessons with this guy here, and ended up enjoying some deep water scuba. Wasn't too deep, but we went down about 25 feet. This is a great experience, which we were able to do as fathers and sons. Found some neat stuff, lobsters, conchs, swam with the sharks and the rays, barracuda. Picture of the old and the new, the resort there with the ladies selling their wares on top of their head, carrying a baby on their back. Beautiful waters of the Caribbean. Out there, it's just a restaurant with an open kitchen in the back. Hats come in every size and shape. Went fishing one day, came back. They do their cleaning on there and prepare it for you to eat on the spot. How about that hairdo? That's the guy's Coconut Lou, he calls himself. This house, I just put that in here. This is the house of McAfee, the guy who invented McAfee Microsoft or antivirus. He lives in Belize. Ended up murdering a guy next door and went on the flea, so he's gone, but that's his house. Boys and I lived on this wonderful Belizean fruit over there. Here's ministry happening in one of the stores. It seemed like everywhere we went, there was people that needed needs and prayer. We saw some guys delivered from drugs on the spot, and as James and David pray over them. It was really my privilege to travel with them and kind of follow them around as God showed us some things in people's lives, and we were able to pray and minister to them. Here's our day we were leaving. Again, we're packed up, ready to go, saying goodbye, getting on a small plane, and goodbye to the beautiful country of Belize. God's doing a work there. That's it. God's doing a work there. The work of God all across the nation of that little country is really exciting. And it was just my pleasure to do this trip with my sons. It was like an affirmation, a confirmation of my ministry that I had done years before. And as the people saw that my sons are able to walk in the truth, and it was really like an affirmation. Praise the Lord.
I'd like to say good morning to everyone this morning. Our trip was just a little bit different than Irvin's. Irvin's went all over Belize. We basically stayed in one village, a village called August Pine Ridge. There's a little Mennonite church there, started by Eastern Mennonite Missions right here from Lancaster. But it was sort of left go. not much leadership there back in the 60s when it was started. And so this is our second trip down there to August Pine Ridge. And God has done a lot of work there. And we've been there for 2 weeks now in the last year. I think Galen said whenever we went down, him and the leadership team got together, he had 14 prayer requests that we had before we left. And on like the fifth or sixth day, he said, guys, he said, out of all these prayer requests that we had, he said, there ain't a single one that hasn't been answered. We were down there in the middle of a tropical depression. Rain every day. 4 o'clock, we had Bible school. 7:30, we had church in the evening. 3 o'clock every day, the rain stopped, and it did not rain until 9:30 again that night. So that's just one of the many miracles that God performed. He performed many, many miracles through the team that went down there. Galen, I just want to give a shout out. Galen put a team together. He put people in position where they could succeed. He put them in position where they did things that they were good at. He followed God's call there. Mark did counseling down there. There was one man. He was struggling with forgiveness, building trust back up with another person. He walked people through that. Merlin and Myron. He had to have a message through a translator. It wasn't something he was real comfortable with, but he did a very, very good job. And Myron, same thing. Myron used a basically a whiteboard on the wall. He didn't have a translator, but most of these people can at least understand English. And with him having it up there where they could read it, instead of just speaking in English, they were able to get the message better. For my wife, Krista and Loretta, you guys did a fantastic job of making sure all the details of VBS were all there. Katrina, just the way you related to the kids, going out and seeing and visiting the children, that was amazing for the first time being down there. Jeremy and Brendan, you guys just filled in with helping with YBS, and it was very, very good. You guys just took control, leadership there. Don't let me miss anybody here. I'm kind of forgetting. AJ, your talk Friday night, laying it all on the line. We had, what was it, 8 Army guys there? Every weekend, a couple Army guys come and just walk through there. And they came and hung out with us all weekend. And AJ's talk really meant a lot to them. And also the youth that were down there. A lot of youth from the soccer team were there. And, yeah, just amazing, amazing job by following God and doing what God called you to do. So that's about all I have for introduction. I just want to say God did amazing work in the 2 weeks that we've been there. This year was a little bit different than what it was last year. Last year we were down there, and we did a lot of work with the younger kids because they were in school. We met with them. This year we did a lot more work with older people, with the topics that the guys gave. My wife was working with a lady there. Someone had wronged them, and she was struggling with forgiveness. And Mark and Galen came along, and we just helped them walk through it. We brought the other person in, and just to help them understand how to work through these kind of issues that they weren't used to working through. Also, there's a little girl. She's 14 years old. She's in a wheelchair. She can barely talk. My wife befriended her last year, and they said all through till we came again, she's always talked about her. And whenever we seen her and stuff, she just lit up, and it's just great what we can do for, yeah, even little children like that. So for the rest of the service here, guys, just listen up. Chris is coming up to have a PowerPoint now. Merlin and Katrina, you guys can come up then. Austin, you're going to follow them. Bethany and Myron, and then Mark's going to close. So, Krista, you're...
All right, well, like Dalen said, we took 14 people down. There were 7 youth group members, and then Dalen and Merletta, Merlin and Katrina, and Galen, Myron, and Mark. That's just a picture of our team. This is just at the airport. We laughed a lot this week, and we had a lot of funny memories. We could never get a good picture of Austin, and then he surprised us with a great photobomb. And the right top picture, that was a joke throughout the whole week. Bethany is so talkative. You guys know Bethany well. And she claimed that she does not fall asleep when she's with other people. And the second plane ride, we had two plane rides down to Belize. We had one from Baltimore to Atlanta and then one from Atlanta to Belize. And then the second plane ride, she conked out on Galen's shoulder. So we just joked about that the rest of the week, that she fell asleep on Galen's shoulder. And Galen's posing. So, so beautiful down there. The top left picture is actually a picture of the church. It's hard to see, but that's like the doorway, entryway into the church. Bible school this past week was, we decided the theme would be God Loves You. And then we had different stories just depicting God's love for us. And some of those pictures are of the singing and the teaching that was going on. And then we split Bible school up into four sections. We had games, we had crafts, we had the Bible story, and then we had snack and verse. And the kids, we split them up into four groups, and then we would rotate them around every 15 minutes. And just a really fun fact real here. We were able to get the youth group members from down there. There were six youth group members that helped us all week with Bible school, and that was really, really cool. We got to know them really well, and we're able to get them involved in Bible school. And so we had two girls teaching the Bible story every week. We had taken the Bible story down, and they took it home every day and translated it into Spanish and then read it to the kids. And throughout the Bible story that they were telling, asked questions. Then at the end, they would ask questions. And every single day, the kids would just like jump up and try to get the questions first. So that was really exciting to see the kids respond to the Bible story like that. And then we had one of the guys helping with the verse. We had two girls helping with the craft. And we had one guy taking groups around. So it was really fun to be able to get their youth group involved. Whoa. Okay, and then this is just pictures of the crafts that we did, different crafts for each week, and the games. Austin and Jeremy, and I guess Austin and Jeremy were in charge of the games. The food down there is just amazing. one of our favorite meals is Ricardo chicken, that one in the middle there. It's special seasoning they make by hand, and I don't even know how they make the chicken, but it's really good. And then picture to the right is sopitas. I think I'm saying that right. We had those last year, and the boys ate like so many of them. They stayed like 20 minutes after the rest of the group had left. This year, we didn't quite eat them all, but Myron, I think, had the most, and I guess I won't say how much he had, but he had a lot. And the Coke was amazing. The top picture of those little peanuts, we stopped on Thursday, we went to Lamanai, the Mayan ruins, and we stopped at a little Mennonite store down there, and Myra, one of our thirst leaders, bought us peanuts, and they call them Mennonite peanuts, and they're tiny, they like look like peas. They're so tiny, and they're really, really good. So this is some of the good food we had. This is youth night. We had youth night Friday night. After Bible school, we just hung out, played volleyball in the churchyard there, and all the Army guys came over. The picture in the middle is of those Army guys with our guys. And then we served them all hot dogs, and we had invited some of the youth from the community to come and have hot dogs with us. And then Dalen and Austin each gave a talk. And it was just really, really good. I think you'll hear more about that later, but it was a really, really good night. Just some of the kids. That's Jenny with Merletta. Jenny is the girl that Dalen was talking about. Just an adorable girl. The picture of me with that young girl, that's Ruby. I'm not sure if some of you remember her from last year. I will talk more about her later. And then just some of the kids that we got to hang out with throughout the week was really fun. More of the church family. The bottom right picture is the four girls that helped us. From the left to right, it's Densi, Jessica, Sylvia, and Emily. And then the top right picture is the entire youth group with Pastor Fernando in the left there. And the two boys are Hector and Jeffrey. The bottom left picture is the pastor and his wife. I don't remember the pastor's name, but Pastor Fernando Blanco, or the pastor's wife's name, I don't remember. We had a lot of fun this week with our group. As you can see there, Mark guzzling hot sauce. We ate so much hot sauce. Hot sauce is amazing down there. And Dalen hurt his knee the one night playing volleyball, so he was getting all babied. And Alicia's very protective of her watermelon. And we just had a lot of fun as a group. Got to know each other really well, maybe a little too well, but a lot of fun. Again, just some of the kids we got to hang out with. The top left picture needs a little bit of explaining. That was our greeting crew when we got back to church late at night. So that brought a lot of laughs, too. We wanted to show you a video of the kids this year. I had the privilege of leading singing each night of Bible school. And last year, we sang a lot of songs, emotions, and tried to get the kids involved. They didn't get really involved with emotions till the last 2 days or so. This year, they jumped right in, and right away, they were singing their hearts out, doing all the motions, and it was just really, really fun to see, for me to just be up there watching their faces. They're just so much joy in their faces, just being able to praise their Lord with the songs and the motions, and it was just really, really fun to watch them. Just, it was, I can't even explain it. It was just really amazing. So we would like to show you a video of the Bible, of the songs. I'm not sure if it's going to work, but we'll try. Our theme song for the week with Bible school was Jesus' Love is a Bubbling Over. I'm sure a lot of you know that song. It was funny because after Bible school, we would hear them climbing trees or whatever they were doing, goofing off, singing the songs at the top of their lungs, and Jesus' Love was bubbling over. At the end of the week, actually, Sunday night was our last night of Bible school, and their church service is a little different on Sundays. They have a Sunday school in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they have, like, their church service. And so we had Bible school at the time that they would have had their church service, but then they just bumped their church service back. So they had their church service after Bible school, but the kids were all there, and we were like, hey, let's get them to sing their songs. So we sang, like, all the songs that they were singing at Bible school for the church. And I think they really enjoyed that. It was really fun. Sure. I am just going to go on and share what I was going to share. So that was a little bit off, but you could see just how much fun they had with that. It was really, really great. Like I said, this week we got really close as a team, and all throughout the week I was kind of keeping a journal, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to write everything funny that we laugh at, because we were laughing, like, all the time. I didn't get near everything because that would take too long, but I'm just going to share a couple of the ones that we had. The soldiers, like Dalen mentioned earlier, they came, I think, Thursday. They walked up, and we were like, oh, okay, this is a little weird. We have soldiers, and they were actually staying at the same compound that we were staying at. So Amir, one of we had two thirst staff members with us, Amir and Myra. And Amir we had last year. He was our group leader last year. And so we were really excited to have him again. And we were like, oh, yeah, this is going to be fun because he knows us. And he was crazy this week. We got to know him on a very different level than we had got to know him last year. And we just had a lot of fun with us. With him. He was pulling pranks on us all week long. And we kept trying to get him back. And it never worked. But the one day, Bethany had just been sleeping, and it was time to get up for Bible school, and we were like, okay, Bethany, get up. And Amir came into our room, and he was like, Bethany, you have to get up. The cops are looking for you. So she, like, gets up, and she's like, what? And so then she and Alicia were walking down to the church, and he was over talking with a couple of the soldiers, and he was like, Bethany, do you have your passport? And she was like, what? And he was like, do you have your passport? And she was like, it's in my room. And he was like, well, go get it. And so she, like, turned around, and she was really freaking out. She won't admit this, but she was freaking out. And she turned around and started going to get it, and Amir just lost it. But he told us later that he was afraid that she was going to cry, and so he just stopped. But that he was going to tell her that they have video footage of her in the airport and that they thought that she was smuggling stuff for the Amish mafia. So that was a pretty good joke the rest of the week. We kept teasing Bethany, do you have your passport? Do you have your passport? We made up a couple words this week. I'm not sure how or why. Probably lack of sleep. One was geckoing, which is when, like, the gecko puts out its throat or whatever. I think that's, like, breeding or something. But that's geckoing. Sarcomazing, not sarcasming. It's sarcomazing, and that's when you're using sarcasm. A lot of sarcasm was used this week. And over-ricing, which is not just giving too much rice to anyone, it's giving Alicia too much rice. The one morning, like Dalen said, it rained a lot while we were down there because we were in the middle of a tropical wave. Galen and Myron in the morning had to go to a meeting of some sort. It was like, I don't know, like 6 o'clock in the morning. And so they ran down to the church, and they had the key with them, and they thought the church was locked. So they're standing in the pouring down rain with their binders like on top of their heads trying to stay dry, trying to unlock this unlocked door. So that didn't work well because it was unlocked already. Sunday evening, we got together as a group and just kind of had a debriefing session and just, like, talked about what we had gone through that week. And then we also went around and, like, had a time of encouragement for each member of the team. And Bethany at one point was trying to say something to someone, and she just blurts out, I'm not good at talking. I'm not good with words. I just talk a lot. Which is very true of Bethany. She talks a lot. So it was great fun. And then the last morning, we had chocolate cake for breakfast, which was awesome. And the plate was getting passed around, and a piece of cake fell off the plate onto Mark's plate, and he was like, hey, where'd that come from, or how'd that get there? And Jeremy just blurts out like that, it's a God thing. So that's just some of the fun that we had with the team. As I was supposed to share about Ruby and her family, that was the girl that was up there a little while ago. I met her last year. She's 14 years old. She has two brothers and a little sister. She's the oldest in her family. And so I was really, really hoping to get to see her this year because I had gotten to know her really well last year. And she came to Bible school one time, so I got to see her, and I was all excited. But then she didn't show up the rest of the week, and I was like, well, this is a little weird. But her siblings were there, so I was like, okay, whatever. She's probably just busy or something. I found out later that she was really, really sick all week, and she had a really, really bad fever, and just she couldn't come because she's just too sick. Sunday, Brendan, Austin, and I went and visited her house because I wanted to say hi to her mom, and I wanted to just be able to say goodbye before we left the next morning. And it was just really, really sad. And we walked in, and they're so friendly. They love having people, and they just love being able to welcome you there. And right away, they brought out chairs so we could sit down and stuff. And they have two tiny little shacks, and I'm not even sure I can call them a shack because they are so run down, and it's horrible. They have walls, and they have a little roof, and both the walls and the roofs have so many holes that it's not even safe. It's just not a good place. And the mom is also named Ruby, and Mrs. Ruby told us that she often gets sick when she's cooking because when the rains come down, they just come straight down onto her through the roof, and she's cooking over the heat, so like the temperature difference makes her sick. And so that was just really an eye-opener for us. The kids are pretty thin, so I'm not sure they're getting enough food. The dad does not have regular work, so he's not able to provide for the family as well as he would like to. And also, Ruby is 14 years old. She should be going into high school this fall. Actually, this week school starts down there for them. And she's not able to go because she can't afford it. And she had told me last year that she would love to become a teacher, and they just can't afford to send her to school. But it only costs $350 Belizean money to send her to school, which is $175 American. So just keep their family in prayer. I'm not sure what we're going to be able to do to help them or if there's even anything we can do. But just keep us in prayers. We try to work through that with them, and we're going to try to talk with Thirst about it and see if we can't work something out with them. But really keep them in prayers that the dad would be able to find work and they'd be able to get their house fixed, because that's a really, really big need for them right now.
I'm supposed to share about our evening services that we had. Galen, Mark, myself, and Myron each took an evening to share with the church there. Topics were forgiveness by Galen. Mark spoke on the call for the people to rise up. I spoke about the Good Samaritan, and then Myron spoke about outreach and the impact we can have on the community. And it was really amazing to see how God tied everything together and spoke to the people in a very real way. Saturday morning, we met with the leadership team from that church, and Mark spent a good bit of time sharing with them about how we do church, our church structure, and then also small groups. And I had taken along the cell group manual that Doug gives all cell group leaders. And so I gave it to them and found out the next day that one of the couples that were there at the leadership meeting had almost read the cell group manual in its entirety in less than 24 hours. And that's something I haven't even done yet. Really amazing to see their hunger for God and their eagerness to learn. They don't have many resources, but they're using the resources they have to the best of their abilities. I have two highlights from the trip. One was, and there may be different highlights than what you would normally consider highlights for a missions trip, but one of my prayer requests was that I would experience personal revival in my life. And God answered that in a very real way. And the second highlight I had was the opportunity of observing our youth pour themselves in the lives of the young people there. It was very, very encouraging. And on top of that, to hear some of you youth that were there a year ago hear your names being brought up again and again, wondering where you're at, why you're not here. So keep that in mind for next year. Oh, by the way, we are invited back. And then the other highlight I had was being able to watch Pastor Mark and Galen lead out in a leadership role with their church leadership team and just observe how they lead. And that was a blessing and encouragement to me.
Well, Krista already said most of my things, so I don't have to say much. Galen had told me to talk about the food. I don't know why he assigned me to talk about the food. Maybe he knew that was one of the main reasons I wanted to go along on the trip. But no, I'm just kidding. That wasn't the main reason, but I was excited. So, yeah, we had good food. But Pastor Fernando, his wife and his two daughters and some of the other ladies from church fed us very well all week long. Thirst Missions, the way they operate, we pay them, and then they pay the people there to feed us and give us lodging. So we're not just sponging off of their hospitality or whatever. So I really liked how that worked, and they fed us well. The ladies got up at 5 o'clock every morning, and we ate breakfast at 8 and always gave us way too much food, way more than we could eat. And the singing, Krista talked about that too, so I don't have to, and you saw the pictures, but that was a lot of fun to teach the kids the songs and to hear them singing. They didn't really know any songs in English, just in Spanish, so it was fun to teach them the songs, and they loved it. One thing, I think Galen put this on an email to the church, but not all of you get email, so the change for change, or the little buckets that they put up here, Galen used that to buy Sunday school material for the church there to give it to them as a gift. And he bought the material. He'd got the Firm Foundations material curriculum. And then the day after he bought it, I think I have this right anyway. The day after he bought the curriculum, he found out that the curriculum was $150. The day after he bought it, he found out that the change for change money that we had was exactly $150. So that was really cool. It was a confirmation from God. And we gave that to them as a gift to teach their Sunday school there.
Well, Galen asked me to talk just briefly about the youth night. Like he already said, it was Friday night. It was just an opportunity to share with the different youth that came out. Like you said, the guys from the Army were there, and there was a soccer team from the community there, a bunch of young guys, probably right around my age. And we had actually gone down and saw them practicing just as we were walking through the community one night. And so Dalen and I and Jeremy and Brennan went over and invited those guys to come to the youth night as well. And it was really cool because two of the guys that were on the soccer team we had met last year, and so we had a connection there. So some of those guys came, and then some of the youth from the church too. Youth night started right after Bible school, and we just hung out, played volleyball. Had a lot of fun playing volleyball. It had rained hard that day, so it was really muddy. We were basically playing in a pit of mud. It was kind of interesting, but it was fun. And played volleyball and just hung out with the youth there until supper, and then we served them hot dogs. And as they were eating, Dalen got up and talked, shared a topic with them, and then I had the opportunity to speak as well. And it was just really, really neat to hear later, how some of those guys were impacted. And we don't know exactly how God's going to use what was shared that night, but it was really neat. He was definitely there. His presence was felt by us all week. I think, yeah, that was probably one of my biggest highlights from the week, was just the way that God worked. Galen already talked about the weather, and just the way that the team came together, just various things throughout the week, some of the miracles that happened. It was just very obvious to all of us that God was with us and that He was there. And just spending the week just watching God work and being able to join Him in what He was doing there in Belize was very, very good experience. So that's all I have.
Well, I'm just supposed to talk about the kids a little bit. First off, they said a little bit about this, but y'all made a huge impact last year. Like, probably like the best example is there was a kid named Florencio, 14 years old. He found out, we got there in the welcoming service, he found out that Davey King, y'all know Davey King, wasn't here this year and was so upset. And it turns out that last year Davey had given him a necklace, and the kid has never taken it off. And, like, he was, like, so sad that he wasn't there. And so he gave me, like, a letter for Davey. And then I got another letter that I was supposed to get to Rosita. And just, like, other people were asking, well, where's this person? What about this person? What about this person? And it was just, like, yeah. But, like, if y'all know me, I absolutely love kids and love playing with them, hanging out with them. So, like, I was in my happy zone all week. I was, like, I got to be on snack. So what happened was they would come in and I would say the verse and stuff and they'd memorize it, and then it would just kind of be like hang out while they're eating their snack. So I got to learn a lot about some of them and got to play with them. I wish I could get on the plane right now and go back to them. Like, they like completely stole my heart. One thing that really impacted me about the kids down there was the way that they take care of their siblings. Like, there's, for example, like Florencio, he had two younger sisters and a little brother. Like, he was always by one of their sides, taking care of them, watching over them. I mean, this kid's like 14, and he's like got like basically the responsibility of the parent right there. And then another kid was Zaim. Him and his little sister Leah, he would like make sure she was okay like all the time. Like, she was almost always with him. And yeah, like, the kids down there are amazing. They've stolen most of our hearts, and yeah, maybe big impact on me.
The Belize trip was an amazing time. And as people have been sharing, you've been getting little glimpses of what happened on our trip. And I was asked to talk a little bit about answered prayer and our trip to Lamanai, and then also our Sunday evening experience with a fellow there. This was the first time I was out of the country like that since I was like 5 or 6 years old. So it was an amazing time, and God did wonderful things. And I just want to thank the rest of the team. I know at the end of a trip it kind of goes all haywire, but it was an awesome opportunity to go with you guys. And also to the congregation back home, never underestimate the power of prayer. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank each one of you for praying for us. It meant a lot, and we could feel the prayers of those back here that weren't able to go praying for us. When you enter into times like this, if we would have went with an exact agenda, God couldn't have worked. And He would not have been able to answer prayers. And I'm just going to list a couple of answered prayers. One of them have been mentioned a couple times already, but just the lack of rain during a rainy season, during the exact time that we were hoping it wouldn't rain. And that was definitely a huge answer to prayer. And also, the four of us adults, guys, met each morning and just had a time of reflecting and prayer. And we had a list of different things that we were praying about: youth night, just protection,
Just clarity for us as we spoke, specifically that some of us had to speak with interpreters. Just praying for the youth that went along and also as they were integrating the Bible school, responsibilities with the youth there. Just a host of different things. And it was just amazing to see God answer each one of those in his specific way, exactly as he had planned. And I just stood in awe at the end of the week as I looked back and just reconsidered all those items on the prayer list and how each one of those was answered. Healing of Dalen. I know most of you can't imagine this, but he was laying on his bed for almost 3/4 of a day. And while not in his bed, the rest of the days he was running around driving, the rest of it was crazy. But we know he was sick because when he was laying flat on his back. But we prayed for him, and by that evening he was able to take part again at Bible school. So just a lot of amazing things happened, and we're so thankful for that. On Thursday, we went on one of our famous bus rides across the beautiful paved roads, dirt paved roads, of Belize, and went to Lamanai. Just a fun time just to get as a group. And we also took the six, I think, all went along that were helping us from the congregation there and also the pastor. Just a fun day of just spending some time together and also seeing some of the culture and the history there. About a 2-hour bus ride through Mennonite or Amish country, as they refer it to down there. A lot of sightseeing as we went along. I thought we were going to get away from horse and buggies, but we didn't. So got to see a couple more of those. The highlight of my week was Sunday night. At the end of, we had supper or dinner or whatever you want to call it, later that night because of the church services and how it worked there. And at the end of supper, the pastor came into the house, into the small area where we were eating, and said that there was someone outside that wanted to meet with us. And I was the youngest one of the group of the adults. So I was in that zone between not sure if I was a youth or whether I was an adult. So I kind of joined both clubs. But that night I was called to be an adult. And so I joined Brother Mark and Galen and of course, names are slipping my mind now. But the four of us sat down with this young man. He's 33 years old. His name is Minor. He grew up in Guatemala and knew no English, so we had to work to talk through an interpreter all evening. And he started to talk, and I don't know that he got more than 5 words out of his mouth. And he laid his head on the table and he just cried. He said, "I'm empty. I want to know God, but I just don't know what's going on." And this isn't just an easy one-on-one conversation, because everything that comes through is coming through layers. And it was somewhat interesting and difficult all at the same time. And he started to share his story and started to explain his bitterness that was inside of him. His mom had left his dad and siblings when he was young. Then his dad was murdered and their house was burnt. And those that murdered his dad were then killed as well. And he was struggling with understanding how to forgive someone that he couldn't talk to anymore. He said, "I can't forgive them," because he said, "they're not alive anymore." And as things went along, we were talking, and we could tell that he wanted to do something. And he had ended up in jail for a year from some bad choices. And recently, I think just this year, he had married actually the pastor's daughter. And he said, "I feel like there's a weight, like a heavy weight on my shoulders and something lodged in my throat." And that night, he rededicated his heart to the Lord. and the beautiful picture that we saw of a young man in anguish to a young man in tears, but with a smile on his face. And it was just an amazing time. Even though we couldn't understand him directly with what he was saying, God did it a miracle that night. And it was just an awesome opportunity, an awesome blessing to be a part of. The next part of that miracle, or the next part that really stood out to me, we had a couple minutes with him, and Mark anointed him, and we had prayer over him. And I just felt God wanted us to pray over both him and his wife. And so we asked him if he'd like to go get his wife, and he went and got his wife. She didn't know what was going on. And we gave them a couple minutes to themselves, and she shared with her what had happened. And the hug they had was worth it all. It was amazing. There was redemption happening. There was freedom. There was just a lot of pent-up feelings. Continue to pray for Minor. His journey is not over. Forgiveness doesn't happen overnight, but God started an amazing work, and it impacted my life. And may we continue to pray, because the power of prayer results in great things.
I do want to say thanks for your prayers. It was amazing. Two quick things. This is getting a little late here, but I felt like we went on God's agenda, not ours. And there were different times that I would spend time preparing for something, and what happened was something totally different that I had no control of. And that was particular in some of the meetings. And it just felt like God was moving and working. And if it wouldn't have been for your prayers and just the prayers of us as a team too. One quick comment. I made a comment about a simple and childlike, innocent and childlike faith. The tropical wave moved in on us, and it started raining, and we had a prayer meeting, and I'm not sure who prayed this, but somebody said, Lord, we're here because of what you want to do. These are my words. And so if you want it to rain and you have something else for us to do other than having Bible school, make that clear to us. And to watch God move into that, just a simple faith, and yet God worked in such miraculous ways with the rain. One of my highlights, I'll say this, is to watch the youth night. I was up in the front grilling hot dogs, and the guys were speaking right beside me, so I had a direct view of the group that was watching the guys speak. And to watch, was there six or eight Army guys? Eight. There's eight Army guys, and pretty tough guys. We had gotten to know them, but I sat there and watched the Holy Spirit use Austin and Dalen in some really incredible ways. And those Army guys were absolutely glued to every word they had to say. There was no messing around. They sat there glued. And just, you could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in really, really powerful ways. And it was really awesome to see that. It was a highlight. I had some other things I'm going to say. I'm going to drop it right now. But I want to say this, yet transitioning into James. It's easy for us sometimes to go out of the country to do missions. And as I was there this week, I was thinking about that, and I thought about this thing. It's easy sometimes to go out of the country to do missions, because that's what we're there for, and that's what our focus is. And that's where all of our energy was on missions. It's much more difficult to be involved with missions at home when our energies are focused on other things like work and all those kind of things. And it's easy for us to get sidetracked and to lose the focus of home missions. And we have an incredible mission actually within our congregation that I know God is doing an incredible work. And James is going to share about that. Kids' life clubs are about ready to kick off, and he has a presentation that he's going to share on that.
So. All right, can I have everybody stand up? We've been sitting for a long time. Lots of PowerPoint, lots of stuff going on. I know you could kind of stretch if you want to stretch out a little bit. And I have good news for everybody. For those of you who don't know, there is lunch here, so you do not have to go far at all. So just think about it. Definitely within a half an hour, you're going to be eating. So it's good, right? It's really not that hard. All right, you can sit back down. I want to talk about Life Club just a little bit. I'm not going to talk long, and then I'm going to show a video. The mission statement of Life Club is spreading the hope of the gospel of Jesus to children and youth in Lancaster City. We have been operating since 2008, and since 2010 we have been operating at Teen Haven. Teen Haven is an arm of Water Street Ministries, located at 205 South Queen Street in Lancaster. That's two blocks south of the square when you're going up Queen Street. You can see the building there. It's right across from the Save-A-Lot if you can't picture that. Something that I've discovered in living in the city and in working with youth and children there is that it is a different culture than I am used to. I don't know if I want to say that it's as different as going to Belize, but it is very different. They have a very different way of looking at life, a different way of doing life. There's a lot of big differences. And so one of the greatest things about being at Teen Haven is the people that we work with at Teen Haven are part of that culture. So essentially they're natives, if I can use that for an example. Obviously we all speak English, but there's still a big cultural barrier for a lot of us that we have to learn. It's a steep learning curve. So it's great to use them as a resource, to partner with them. I just met with the field director from Teen Haven again last week. His name is Pastor Jose, and he is the youth pastor at In the Light Ministries. And they want to partner with us more. They're happy to. They want us to integrate with them more and to do more with them. They like what we're doing. They like the program that we're running. We have freedom to run the program however we want to do that. There are three levels of ministry as we see it with Life Club. The first one is obviously to the children and the youth. The second level is to develop the youth group. It's mainly staffed from the youth group, but not everybody is from the youth group. And to all of us as staff, I've discovered that anytime you're doing ministry, we get ministered to. Maybe we get ministered to more, and we learn more and grow more than the people that we're ministering to. So that's the second level. And the third level is it's a ministry to Teen Haven, and we are doing something that they are not able to facilitate, that they can't staff. They do not have the manpower to run a program like we're running and to bring that many kids in. The committee this year is Matt Gingrich and Alicia Slaboff from the youth group. And then there are three couples actually from a house church in Lancaster City that are helping Carla and I on the committee this year, casting vision and direction. Matt and Kelly Maxwell, Sean and Deanna Riccadelli, and Jerry and Cheryl Erb. They're from a small house church. There's only four couples in the house church. They've all moved into the city to do ministry there. They have a real heart for working with kids and are helping us cast vision and direction for that and partnering with Teen Haven. To the staff, this may be a surprise to you a little bit, but it is going to be different this year. We're going to set things up differently. We have a staff meeting this coming Tuesday night. It's September the 3rd. If anyone in here is interested in Life Club or finding out more about it, this Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock at Teen Haven, we are having a staff meeting. If you're curious, you want to find out more, please come. You're welcome to come, and we will talk about the things that are going to change. But basically, we're going to try to do a lot smaller groups. We're going to try to integrate it a lot more. We're never going to have the amounts of kids there on one night that we did at Life Club last year. We were getting about 80 kids or so, which was too many for the facility. It was making it very difficult for the staff. It's intimidating. You end up doing crowd control. It's hard to figure out what your place is. We're going to break it down. We're going to do smaller groups. So it's going to be different. It's going to be more personal. It's going to be more relational. And we want to create something where you are involved in only a few children's lives in a much more personal way, and you get to know them better. I'll tell you guys a lot more about that on Tuesday evening. One of the things that we also want to do is to do a better job of developing the staff, coming alongside of the youth. The way we were doing it, it was a real problem. For those of us as leaders, we were all busy enough running a program that it was hard to come alongside of some of the younger people, and we want to do a much better job, do something different with that, and hopefully develop staff that really have vision to reach out to the community. And, you know, maybe that's in Belize or in Asia or whatever. But for right now, we are in Lancaster City, and it is a mission field. I want to put a plug in for baking. That's a way that ladies, men too, if you're good at baking, can get involved here. And I want to say I really appreciate that to all of you ladies who have baked. It is seriously, it's a really big blessing. It saves us a lot of money in our budget, and the kids really enjoy it. And so I thank you for that. If that's a way that you can help, it is an important way, and we really appreciate that for all of you who like to bake. And Mim Zimmerman is still in charge of that. So if you have any questions about that, you can ask Mim Zimmerman. Okay, I'm going to show a video. It is about 10 minutes long. And all of you kids, I know you're probably tired of sitting here. You've been sitting here for a long time, and you're being very patient. That's great. So watch this video, and this is what it looks like at Life Club. Sometimes I call it organized chaos when there's 80 kids in there. But you watch this, and it's a pretty quick-moving video. The credit goes to Tim for the video. He came and shot it for us. You're going to see a few different people in the video. Pastor Jose actually taught that night. It was the last night from this past year, the end of May. You will see Pastor Jose teaching just a little bit. He is the field director at Teen Haven and the youth pastor at In the Light Ministries. You will see a few other people you may not recognize. They are people from the house church that are serving on the committee. So here's the video. Thank you very much.
Club. So if you're interested in being involved in that, make sure you contact James on that. We have one more thing real quick. Alicia, do you have just a couple words for us before you leave? And while you come, I'd like if the youth leaders and also Vernon's would come up for a word of prayer then.
Well, as most of you know, for the past year I've been involved in Honeybrook, teaching there. It's a pretty intense position, and about halfway through the school year, I felt like I needed kind of more training, but maybe I didn't really feel like God was saying yes to college. And I was able to visit Wilderness Way Girls Camp in South Carolina, and they needed a cook, and so I'm heading down there this Friday. I'm going to be cooking there for a year. That'll be my main job. Lots of odds and ends. I'll probably be doing some night duty for the Chiefs. Yeah, just different things that need done there, and also just learning from the camp there, how they do stuff, working with children and youth at risk. So yeah, I'm really excited about it, and yeah, I request prayer too. Just there's various, I won't go into detail, but just various reasons that I would like to go down, but not exactly sure why God wants me down there. So yeah, I just know He wants me down there, and I'm really excited to go. So.
Actually, let's stand together. I'm going to have Galen and Dalen actually, if you could step out here, lead in prayer as we lay hands on her as she goes, and then I'll wrap up with prayer at the end.
Lord, I just pray for Alicia as she goes. I just pray for your protection. And Lord, I just pray that you would make your plan very real in her life. And I pray that as she goes, that she would touch many lives around her, and she could just be an influence to the sphere that she comes in contact with there. Make her a blessing to many.
Dear God, I just want to thank you for Alicia. Lord, thank you for putting the things in her life that her parents have taught her, just putting them to use for other kids and sharing that love. And God, just use her in a great way down there. She doesn't know all the reasons that she's gone, but Lord, just bless her for going.
Thank you for the call that you have placed on Alicia's life. And Lord, as she leaves us as a congregation to spend some time there at Wilderness Way, God, I pray an anointing on her life. I pray that you would lead her through your Holy Spirit, that you would empower her and give her strength. And Lord, and we want to send her with our blessing and also with your blessing on her life. And so I pray in a special way this morning that you would surround her with your presence as she goes. Protect her, Lord, physically, spiritually, emotionally. God, use her in powerful ways in your kingdom as she's there. And God, I just thank you for this church and for the group of people that you've brought together. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would continue to lead us and direct us and help us to just continually scatter the seed of your word in the lives of people. Dismiss us with your blessing. I pray for our lunchtime. I pray a blessing on the food and our fellowship as well. And we commit our lives to you as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for the time.